And welcome into in-game chat for Saturday, January the 25th, 2025. It is season 19, episode number 3. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Hey, welcome to the show, everybody. If you'd like to get in touch with us, do so through the Discord if you want, or you can do it through the emails, or you can do it through Blue Sky. You can also do it, well, we're on Twitch, so if you want to go to Twitch, watch us. Chat in the chat room there with us, twitch.tv, and there you go. And don't forget, you can find us on Facebook as well. Email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. We've got a chat room, by the way, in the Twitch, on the Twitch stream there, so you can chat with Bama Brian, who's in there. AC Wraith is in there. So yeah, you can pop in there and say hello and whatever else. Let me do this real quick. Three. Look at that. Two episodes away from 800. That'll be... thought about that the other day. I was like, okay, two episodes to 800. We do anywhere from like 43 episodes a year. One, two, three. It's about another 4 years. We'll hit 1,000.
Still have plans for 1,000. We got to get tuxes.
I mean, was that the plan?
Something involving tuxes.
There's a lot that's happened since our 500th.
Yeah, I know.
There's a whole lot that happened since our 500th episode. So if the plan is to get tuxes for the 1,000th, then sure, we'll continue to do that. It's 4 years away, so sure. I'll pledge to buy you a car when we hit 1,000. It's 4 years away.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, 4 years can fly by, but...
Especially at our age.
I mean, well, that's not something I would have said, not 500 episodes ago, but if we're at 800, 300 episodes ago, I would not have said something like that. At our age, there was no heart attack on the horizon for me. There was no COVID on the horizon for our 500th to talk about, like, hey, we'll be here in, how long is it going to take us to get to 1,000? It's like, oh, man, that's years and years and years away, decades almost. But now we're down to 4 years away from it. So, yeah, who knows?
Why do we stay on schedule? So, yeah.
God, I got to line up guests. Be like, can you mark it? What are you doing in 2029? could you reach out, talk to us, be on our show? It's our 1,000th episode. Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody, and we should just, I guess, jump right into it and talk about what we've played, and as always, I will throw it to you, RJ, and you can talk about what you played.
Well, a little bit of MLB The Show 23, still playing
I did
that.
See you playing that, yeah.
Like I said, played last week, playing with the updated roster that someone generously created for us to download. Instead of buying a new copy, you just play with the current roster, which is basically all... a new sports game is. Same game, different roster. So, yeah, someone just made a roster, put it in there, and I was able to install it and play it, and I'm still having a good time with it. But for the most part, I'm still playing the First Ascendant. I was able to really level up my character and my equipment using the perks and benefits I've got from the in-game rewards and events. So it accelerates your XP gain for your character and your equipment. So I was able to do that a lot, and still playing with friends makes the time go by much faster. And I'm starting to see a lot of players with the new character, Ines Raya.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's the same thing that happened when I first experienced playing with folks who used the poison character, Freyna. Basically, a lot of AoE, area of effect, abilities that takes out entire mobs in one go before you can even get a shot off. So my character being Ajax, which is a defensive character, my bread and butter comes when enemies are attacking, which they can't do because they're dead in one shot.
Mm-hmm.
With all the players playing with Inez and Freyna. But
which kind of, that sort of, that weak, I don't say that weakens you, but that sort of...
Well, it gives me experience, it does, but I'm just along for the ride.
I was about to say, but you're not contributing.
I'm not able to contribute. So, I'm having to deal with that. But then again, I was playing with just random folks, so that could happen anytime. And seeing how many folks was running around the lobby with those two characters,
mm-hmm.
then yeah, it was pretty much going to be a foregone conclusion. I'm going to be playing with a lot of Ines Raya players this week. But I'm still getting the enough experience I need to boost my stuff up at an accelerated rate, so I'm still happy with that. And if push comes to shove, I can just make the thing private and just try to go solo
on
a lot of stuff.
That.
I could do that as well. So outside of that, looking at other things, and I see that the Operator was on sale on Steam.
It was back on sale.
It was back on sale. I need to pick that up because it was one of the demos that I played that I really wanted to get into.
I think it might end on the 26th.
So I still got a little time left, I believe, if that's the case.
Let's see. Steam Power says search. Yeah, search Steam. That's going to be Operator. Operator. Just to give you an idea of where we're looking at here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 944 is what I've got for it.
Okay.
Oh, wait a second. What? Oh, you can buy a bundle.
A bundle, okay.
Well, the bundle that... So the sale price right now is $10.50.
Okay.
Sale price, which is... offer ends in 19 hours, by the way.
Yeah, you got time.
Yeah, so sorry. Well, yeah, that is the 26th. I forgot. Tomorrow's the 26th. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so yeah, you got 19 hours on that. But there's an iSpy bundle, which includes... I clicked on it. Case of the Golden Idol,
mm-hmm.
which I already own.
Is that a game similar to The Operator?
No.
No, okay.
I haven't played it.
Okay, was it a puzzle type?
Yeah, kind of mystery, solve, point and click type thing.
Right.
But yeah, so I've already got that. So that brings the price. It takes about $1 off that sale price for me if I get the bundle.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I've already got one of the games, it's not going to give me an extra copy of that game, but it will sell me the Operator at that bundled price minus that game, which brings it down $1.
Okay.
So I can get it for $9. So $9.50.
So is that a standard policy with bundles? If you already got the game in a bundle, it'll give you a little discount or whatever?
I don't necessarily know that it's standard, but I have noticed that recently,
mm-hmm.
that I can possibly get it cheaper because of a bundle that it's involved with. I think one of the Pac-Man games that I got, because I had other Pac-Man games in there,
yeah.
it was cheaper for me to get it as a bundle than it was to get the game separately.
And with so many Pac-Man games are there, it's hard to imagine someone not having any Pac-Man titles.
I can't remember the whole deal. But when I went back over the holidays, when I was looking up and doing all of my, you know, price checking and everything else that I do with it,
mm-hmm.
This is something that I noticed with The Operator and some other game. And it may have been Pac-Man. It may have been something else.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember. But it was cheaper to get it as a bundle of something that I already had than it was to buy the game by itself.
Mm-hmm.
So, tell you folks, whenever I talk about how vigilant I am on sale prices and deals.
Yeah.
This is what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Again, let me promote, and I have no reason to promote them. They're not paying me to promote them. It's just a really good resource for PC gamers. Although there are tabs there on gg.deals. If you go to gg.deals, they have tabs for all platforms, or if you just want to see PC games, Xbox, PlayStation, or Switch, you've got that option to do that. You're going to find far, you're going to find far better deals on the PC side of things, but with these key sellers and stuff, you might find some good deals on your console games. I don't know. I made this thing all PC related. I didn't even bother with the console stuff. Because more than likely, I'm going to find it cheaper on PC, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So, oh man, I don't even know if it's probably still not there. There was a version of the, yeah, I don't see it. There was a version of the Cyberpunk. Mm-hmm. The expansion for that, the Phantom Liberty expansion, typically runs for about $26, something like that, mm-hmm. even on sale.
Just the expansion or the
just
bundle?
The expansion.
Just the expansion, okay.
Now, that's going back a ways. The current price right now, best deal, is $23.99, but the historical low, it doesn't show me that, the historical low yesterday, the thing was $2.
That felt like a mistake.
Felt like a mistake.
Yeah.
Instead, though, I couldn't take advantage of it because it was the activation for it was on good old games and not Steam, which is where I've got the base game.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't have helped me at all.
Yeah,
getting it for the $2 that it was, because
mm-hmm.
I was frantic. I was like, "Oh no, we're doing this. We're going through it." And the more I went through it, the more I looked at it, the more I was like, "Wait a second. Okay, that's GOG. That's not going to help me.
Yeah,
that's not going to help me at all." Mm. So. And I don't see it there anymore, but yeah, you're right. It did sound like a price mistake, and that was fantastic just to see that. But yeah, you get little things telling you, you know, it's a historical low, that sort of thing. You can look at it. You can actually see the price of the game. You can see what the lowest price has been for the game, so that you know, hey, am I paying too much, or should I wait, or was it a fluke? You know, something like that that you can look at. I wish I did this more with my groceries than I did with my video games. You know?
Priorities.
Right. Well, yeah, priorities is exactly right. So, what else? Is that all you did?
Yeah, not a lot of variety in game, just a lot of those two titles and looking at what was going on with The Operator. Because I'm getting interested in that genre of type of game.
I keep remembering that it's there, and I'm sort of interested in it. But I haven't pulled the trigger on it just yet. So.
Yeah, I think it all started with us with Papers, Please.
Yeah,
noticing little things, managing stuff, and seeing if you're paying attention.
That's the one I haven't played in a while. Is Papers, Please. I just break that back out again because I'm sort of in a gaming limbo. I think on my PC I'm in a gaming limbo. I'm good on console at the moment, and if you've wrapped up what you've been playing, I'll just jump into mine this point. But before I get to that. Want to address the chat room here where Thar6 says, you guys must be close to 20 years of being of doing the show. I remember grabbing your RSS feed on my PlayStation or PSP.
Mm-hmm.
I still have my PSP, Thar. I still have the box my PSP came in. I still have the original box the PSP came in with the free Spider-Man film included in it on UHD or whatever the little disc was called, they called them. I can't remember.
It was UHD.
Yeah, I think it was. And then I also still have my... Oh, no, that was a Vita. The PS... Was it Vita? Or, which one had Assassin's Creed? That was Vita. That was the Vita.
Okay.
God, I've forgotten about that, too. Yeah, I still have my box for the Vita. And but, yeah. 20 years. 2008. Didn't we start this 2008, I believe?
Sounds about right.
Crackdown.
Yeah, Crackdown was the one.
Go look at Crackdown because when we started, and I want to say it was February of 2008, but I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. When we started that year, we were doing Crackdown giveaways like almost every week.
Mm-hmm.
I would go to the store, buy a copy, and be like, okay, you want it? And then I would send you the copy or something like that because there was like a beta thing for like Halo in there or something.
Mm-hmm.
The game came with like access to Halo and something. What a weird time it was to be giving away physical copies of games where you had to mail things off. And at this point, I could be like, hey, what's your gamer tag? Boom, send you a digital copy. There you go. You know? But yeah, so 2008, very close to 20 years. AC Wraith says, Steam offers that kind of bundle. It's how I afforded my pinball tables. Yeah, that's true. Thar6 says the expansion is great. I believe he's talking about Cyberpunk.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Anyway, jumping into my stuff is like I'm in a little bit of a gaming limbo on PC. I finished up Indiana Jones, and I've sort of been like, eh, what am I going to dive into next? What am I going to jump into? What I decided to sort of jump into just because I had read reviews where, hey, this is like a quick little, you know, 2 or 3 hours you can play this game, and it's, you know, whatever, depending on how well you do it. It's called Psychorama, I believe. Psychroma, maybe?
Hmm.
I think it is Psychroma. Psychroma. It is Psychroma.
Mm-hmm.
Psychroma is the name of it. It is a kind of side-scroller, point-and-click sort of thing. It's not really point-and-click because they suggest you use a controller when you play it. But it is a little side-scroller mystery thing. It's got some psychological horror stuff to it. I don't know. It hasn't necessarily affected me yet in any way. It hasn't given me a, ooh, you know, any sort of jump scares or anything like that. Although mm-hmm. I'm told that they're in there, but yep. I haven't come across it yet. It's very cyberpunky. It is told out of order. There is some sort of mechanic where I can sort of visit the past of these same places that I'm roaming in. And they're not very many, but I can visit the present day, I can visit the past, and then go even further back in the past if I want to. And I can also apparently inhabit the bodies of some of these people that I'm talking to and live sort of through them or live through their memories. There's no hand-holding on the game. You just kind of have to figure it out yourself. And so right now I'm at a point where I'm trying to find some things to get something running, and so I got to look around. Anyway, I put some time into that. That was okay. Of course, Marvel Snap, and I will get into the Marvel Snap situation here shortly. But I've sort of been in limbo on PC as to what to play. I thought about breaking out Ghost of Tsushima and play that, since I've got that on PC. And I thought, yeah, you know, there's a game that I'd like to get back into that I started on PlayStation, didn't get very far in it. So why not jump in again? Maybe.
That and many other games like that, I've got a good way in, but haven't finished it off yet. Bloodborne comes to mind.
Yeah.
Sekiro. I think with Sekiro, I'm just going to have to start over from scratch on that one. And Ghost of Tsushima
yeah.
is one that I need to finish off.
Really? You never finished it?
I finished the main story.
Okay.
I think it's the DLC
that
I need to get into and play. So I need to finish what I started, basically.
Yeah.
On a lot of
I've got it on Steam on PC, and I think that's where I would like to play it, because currently my console time on my PlayStation is taken up by Astrobot.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you've seen me playing, but that's how I saw you playing First Ascendant. And Show, MLB The Show.
I should see you on there. I mean, you're on PS5, right?
Yeah.
PS4, so on PS4, I mean... Hmm.
Oh, no, I see your name.
Yeah, you see my name. I don't see yours.
I mean, I have to go specifically to the list of people online and look through it to find you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that is just, at least for me, it's not something that shows. I forgot about how the PS4's dashboard looks.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
PS5, it doesn't look that way anymore.
Yeah.
I think you can customize what your dashboard looks like on PS5. I know there was some stuff in there that I could do, and like widgets and things like that, so I think I can throw in like a little friend box.
Yeah, it sounds like a smartphone.
On there. Thar6 says, do you like it? Yes, I really enjoyed Indy. I really, really enjoyed Indiana Jones. Did. Great. Loved it. Finished it. Loved it. We talked about it last week. I don't even know if you were here. I think you were, Thar. You were here last week, but yeah. Talked about how much I loved Indy last week. But playing Astrobot on PlayStation 5. And I just love it. Mm. I mean, I don't necessarily know the kind of more praise that I can give it than that, because I believe all the praise in the world has been given to this thing. It has won award after award after award. If not Game of the Year, it's winning most of the categories that it gets nominated for in what it does. And as a platformer, as a... it's just an all-around fun game, and it oozes charm. So much quirky little charm thing. Like every aspect of the game is something that when the first time you see it, it makes you smile. I'm not saying that by the 17th time you see it, it makes you smile. I don't know about that. But every little thing that gets done for the first time you do it, it's like, oh, that's really cool. It's like you discover something every time you play. And I'm not saying you discover something that wasn't there before. It's you discover it because they've thrown it in there.
Mm-hmm.
Every single level brings something new to the game, whether it is a new gameplay mechanic or whether it is just something that's completely either a new enemy type or a new way of moving through the level. It's completely new every single time. And I've gone through, I can't tell you how many levels I've gone through at the moment. It's quite a few. I've collected 100 of the 100 plus of the little astrobots that I'm supposed to rescue. Mm. And all of them, the majority of them are just generic astrobots. And then, you know, there's a few of them that are tailored after PlayStation properties. Like I saved Joel and Ellie from Last of Us. I saved, Kratos and his son. The Ape Escape games are in there. Metal Gear Solid is in there. Mm. Street Fighter 2 is in there. Because I got Ken and Ryu so far. I don't know if there's more of them in there, but Ken and Ryu are in there, and I got them. Katamari is in there. Who else? There's just Parappa the Rapper. He is hanging out there. And Legacy of Kain. I found Cain and is it Azrael? Razi or whatever. Azrael, I think.
I think it's
anyway,
Azrael, yeah.
Yeah. I found those guys and Okami. I mean, it just, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. I mean, it's just, and it's so fun. It is so fun. And it's addictive. You don't want to really stop. You kind of make yourself stop, not necessarily because you really want to, but because you have other things you got to do. Mm-hmm. otherwise, you'd just be sitting there, you know, going through it. Plus, I think it's better served in not necessarily small doses, but, you know, a level or two a day or something like that, depending on what you play. Mm-hmm. But it's just wonderful. Every single aspect of it is just fantastic. The motion controls, which you think are horrible, are not. They're great in this. They work well because, honestly, don't use them too much. What else? It's still a showcase for mostly the controller than it is the PlayStation itself, because there are things in there where you do have to tilt or where you can feel the feedback from there. There's a thing in there where you blow into the microphone so that you can, you know, push air into the game. In the God of War level, there's a horn you have to blow to call in the world snake or the world serpent. And in order to do that, you blow into the controller and then it pushes air, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's just fantastic that they do this stuff. And you really have to blow into the controller. I mean, it's not something where you can, like, make air with the controllers. You actually have to blow into the microphone in order for it to do it. Or you could talk into it, but you have to talk really loud in order to push the air through for it to pick up that you're blowing into the microphone.
Hmm.
It's honestly, it's just great. Charm all over the place. There are... I'm not sure exactly how many levels I've played. They kind of have split them up into, like, you're in space. There's your home planet, which is where you drop off all the bots that you rescue. And outside of that, on the world map, are these different galaxies that you can fly to with your ship. Once you go to the galaxies, you go inside those, and from there are the different levels. Mm. And you go in and you play those, and when you beat the boss of that level... another level opens up that seems to allow you to take the form of some character. The first level, when I beat the gorilla, a level opened up and it was all Ape Escape. So I became whoever the protagonist of Ape Escape is with his little net, and I had to go around and catch the little monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
In the second level, I beat, for whatever reason, I beat an octopus. And that unlocked the God of War level. which again is fine. You go in, and then of course you become Kratos, and you got a little beard, and you got his axe, and you can throw it and retrieve it, and it was just It was great. They put in everything you could, and then these other little things with the just it's so good. It deserves every bit of praise that it's gotten. And if you're a platformer fan, this game is one to put on your list. If you're a platformer fan and you've got a PlayStation 5, don't skip out on Astro Bot. If this thing, and I think it will come to PC, maybe. Again, platformer fan, don't skip out on it. Because it honestly doesn't matter if you are a PlayStation fan or not. A lot of these characters, like I mentioned, Street Fighter 2 is in there, Katamari. These are games that span consoles, not necessarily just PlayStation. Or Sony properties or anything like that. It is honestly, it's just a really good effort. And every aspect of it is fantastic. There are little things that you do or little things that you see where you're wondering, is this going to happen if I do this? And then when it does, you're like, oh man, they thought of everything, you know, because you thought of it, they thought of it. And it's the music again. Every detail, every aspect is just absolutely on point, and the music is no different. That God of War level took the God of War music, and it's got a little Astrobot flair to it. And I think probably what I'll do is you're going to hear different Astrobot tracks, not this show, but going forward, I'll probably include a track on each one. They're just great.
So it's the Astrobot remix.
I mean, it's just fantastic. It seems to be. Now, that was God of War that I played. I never played Ape Escape. Ape Escape's been around forever, but I've never played Ape Escape. So I have no idea about the music in there. But it doesn't matter, because even the music for levels that have no relation to any sort of PlayStation game still have fantastic, great... There's one level I played where I had to shoot water on this seed. And the more water I put on the seed, it got bigger and bigger, and then it exploded, and this massive tree comes out of the ground. It's the level. Like, the level you start on is this little, you know, area with, like, a golf course or something like that, and then you get this little water gun. You put the water gun on the seed. This massive tree grows, and he starts singing to you. The tree does. And then you go inside of the tree, and that's where the entire level takes place. Inside this tree, as you go up the tree, out on the limbs, go around, go back inside the tree, go on the other side, out on the limbs. You just keep going up, 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 and up. With the boss being these birds that are nesting up at the top of the tree. And it's just fantastic. It really is. It's just so good. And I hope more people get to experience this. I get now all the praise for, like, Game of the Year and all this other stuff that it's getting. I absolutely get it. Do I think it's a better game than, you know, Black Myth or some of the games that it was nominated against? I don't know, because I didn't play those games. For me, however, yeah, I think so. I think this would, for me, it does beat out Balatro. I love Balatro, but for me, it beats out Balatro just because, I mean... Balatro is great at what it does, but that is all it does. And Astrobot just has all these different things going for it. And so, yeah, I don't know. It's just fantastic. Wonderful, wonderful game. I'm not exaggerating when I tell you, but every time I sit down to play this, it is a gigantic smile on my face out of everything I see. And when I'm done with it, I am looking forward to doing it again. You know, as soon as I'm done with it, I'm looking forward to going back in there. There are secrets in levels. And, I mean, it tells you before you jump into a level how many bots you got to rescue. If there are any other little puzzle pieces that are inside. Like, when you're in there, you can collect puzzle pieces that fill up on your home planet. Once puzzle pieces are done, you unlock, like, a shop of some sort where you can spend the gold coins that you've collected through the level and stuff like that. But it gives you a list of all the things that are within the level for you to find. And some of those things are hard to find. Some of them, you kind of have an idea. Once you go through a level once, if you want to go back to it, you can spend some coins. I think it's 200 coins to have this bird assistant follow you around in the level. And when you come upon either a bot to rescue, a puzzle piece, or something that is a secret, it'll start blinking and giving you an idea of like, hey, you need to go over here. It's mm-hmm. over here. This is where you can find it. In fact, I'm not sure if it was this one or some other game, but I think it's this one. If you struggle through a section, it will let an AI bot take over for you just to get you through that section. It'll take you from whatever that checkpoint is to the very next checkpoint. Mm-hmm. If you can't get through that certain area. Which I think is great. I haven't used it yet, but I can easily imagine, you know, kids or somebody playing this thing and not, and you know, having some mm-hmm. trouble. And either asking their parents to get them through that level, but if the parents don't do that sort of thing, then the level, the game itself will help them get to the next checkpoint. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's something you can turn on or off. I think. I'm not exactly sure. I could be getting this crossed with some other game. But anyway, Astro Bot's fantastic. It's really, really good. I know it'll be on PS Plus at some point, but I think for a while it's not going to make it there for a while. Mm-hmm. It seems like a perfect game for PS Plus. But yeah, if that thing drops in price, it's worth $60 to me now after playing it. I was like, yeah, this thing's totally worth the money that you spend on it. It's really, really good. And even though it's single player, man, it is packed. There are tons of levels. And then there are, and you don't always come across these, but in certain galaxies, I guess you could say, there are little bitty things that'll pop up on the map that you can fly your ship over. If you do it fast enough, mm-hmm. you can trigger it to open up another level in that area. I can't remember what they're called, but I opened up a 4 or 5 little speed levels. Mm-hmm. Which there are no checkpoints. There's only one. It's just a start and a finish, and you kind of, and it's short, but it's filled with like different hazards and traps and different little things like that. But there's absolutely no checkpoint, and there's only one bot to rescue. But the point of it is to just, you know, get through that, not necessarily as fast as possible, although I know a lot of people are doing speed runs, mm-hmm. But just to get through it. It's just a little level for you to go through and you know, I'm trying to think of like kind of a bonus level, but not as big as any of the other levels. Very short, no checkpoints. You just go through it. Yeah. So, but I've played those over and over again because I'll die halfway through because there's a lot more traps and a lot more trickery mm-hmm. going on in those than there are in the other levels. And that's another point. I don't think those levels have the, well, you know what? Maybe I turned it off. Because I've died a lot on those levels, and I don't remember anything coming up to say, "Hey, do you need some help to get through these?" I don't remember any of that happening.
Sounds like a secret area. That's the challenge portion.
Sounds like a challenge level. Yeah,
you wouldn't put a AI helper on the challenge level.
Yeah, I think that's what the word I was trying to come across was like a challenge level. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's fantastic. The boss fights are great. The different mechanics that you get. I got these boxing gloves one time, and then I got Kratos' axe, and they're just wonderful. Really, really well done. Just bravo to the team that made that. Just really good. Hmm. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I will talk about Marvel Snap because I do play the Marvel Snaps, and we're going to find out. Well, we're not going to find out. We're going to talk about the banning that took place. No, I did not get... Well, we all got banned from Marvel Snap. But we're back now, and I'll talk about it when we come back. We got music here from... Is this new game stuff? God, I can't remember. I think it is. I think we're in new game stuff. This game is called Zero Tolerance. And it's the main theme. I don't remember where this is from. Thar6 asks if Snap is back. I'll answer that when we come back, because yes, it is, and no, it's not. So, I'll tell you what that means. We'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat after this. Nope, it's older games, isn't it?
I like it. Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to In-Game Chats. That is music from Thrash Rally. The track is called Paris. That's from the Neo Geo era of gaming. All right, real quick, I wanted to give a hello to a few people. Dave, of course, I'm sure he's listening, or at least he will be. And another fan that I found out about, Michael Moore, who I want to say... he's a senior at Tallahassee High, listens to the show every weekend, and I just wanted to give him a shout out there, Michael Moore. So thanks, buddy. Thanks for listening. So, let's talk about Marvel Snap. I woke up Sunday and I had a couple of messages from other people like, "Oh, they got you on Snap. They got you." And I was like, "What's going on?" Come to find out that you could not get in to play Marvel Snap because Marvel Snap's parent company, or I guess I should say parent company, the developers of Marvel Snap are Second Dinner. The publishers of Marvel Snap, I think, is Newverse, or maybe that's the storefront that they use, which is Newverse.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that own... No, they're tied into Newverse, actually. And the people
basically someone's involved with ByteDance.
Yes.
Yeah.
Newverse is owned under ByteDance.
Mm-hmm.
ByteDance owns Newverse, TikTok, and a couple of other apps as well.
Right.
And when they pulled TikTok, they pulled everything ByteDance, which this was known. This is something that was known about, because let me tell you, the internet detectives and the people that they are, they found a post on Reddit from like 10 months ago of somebody saying, "Hey, there's this thing in Washington saying that they're going to be pulling TikTok, but it actually references ByteDance and what they have to do with it. Snap is in there with ByteDance. And this may pull," but, you know, nobody paid attention to it until 10 months later when people woke up and found that they couldn't log into Snap. USA, people in the United States couldn't log into Snap. The rest of the world was fine.
Yeah.
Canada could still log in. Everybody else could still log in and play. And if you used a VPN, you could still log in and play. Mm-hmm. Which eventually I did get a VPN, because there were VPNs now who were offering like, "Hey, our services are free. Download our app. We're allowing it free for the use of Marvel Snap." And so I did absolutely that. I don't have to anymore because I got everything restored. But Sunday and Monday, the game didn't come back until sometime on Tuesday, I believe. It came back for people here in the United States. Again, people using VPN could still play, because that would tell the servers that you're playing from Canada or from some other place, which is fine. In fact, the developers at Second Dinner, who are the developers of Snap, encouraged that and said, "Yeah, if you can do a VPN, go ahead and use it. We're not going to punish you for using a VPN to play our game." It was a strange thing, and I just thought, well, this is interesting to see, and it's interesting to see how they're going to fix this as well. And I say that because it's not that easy to get out from underneath the people that own you. it's hard to say, "I know you own us, but we're going to dump you and go somewhere else." I mean, they are actively looking for a new publisher.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what all that's going to entail when your storefront, your all your innards of Snap are tied into Newverse for the monetary aspect of things, which is tied into ByteDance. I don't know how easy that's going to be. And, by the way, while they did bring everything back up so people could play their game, I mean, I know they put TikTok back up there, but if you notice, and maybe you don't, I don't know, I'm going off of what it means for Snap. The app is still not available on storefronts. Once the government, you know, said, you know, no TikTok ban, blah, 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 pulled it off, Google Play, Android, Apple, all that stuff, they removed them from the storefronts. I think it's still on Steam. Which, again, it's free to play. You can download it and play it. But you can't buy anything currently. You can't go to the Nuverse shop and spend money. You can spend in-game currency, which I think is the gold in there. You can spend that currency in-game, but if I were to see something in the shop that's like $5 and I want to buy it, I wouldn't be able to do it. I could VPN and do it, I think. Maybe. I don't know. I haven't tried. But yeah, the storefront is still kind of locked off to U.S. players. And I don't think that the actual app itself is not there. So if you delete the app, you're not going to be able to get it back. Same thing with TikTok, was if you deleted the app, you weren't able to get it back. They didn't put TikTok back on the storefront that I know of, and I could be wrong because I don't mess around with TikTok, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the situation. And so, but yeah, Snap is back. They're actively looking for new publishers as well. And we're getting a compensation package for the time down, which is pretty good. A lot of the times there's some things that I look for when it comes to things with Marvel Snap, when I'm browsing Reddit and things like that. Whenever they make their decision, Second Dinner, whether it be the patches that they put out where they change card values and change, you know, aspects of what the cards do. Maybe there was a bug, or maybe there's something that they're working on, or maybe they want to try and do balance updates for the game. The players will look over that stuff, and then they'll have their opinions on them, whether they be good or bad. The majority of the opinion that I find on Reddit, and I don't necessarily know that that carries over into everyone else playing the game, but as far as the Reddit opinions are concerned, most of the time players are not happy with the way Second Dinner handles the game. Card acquisition has been really bad lately. A lot of people have, and you'll find this, a lot of the streamers who stream specifically to Marvel Snap have kind of ducked out and either gone over to Rivals, which is the first person, I say first person, I think it's third. Anyway, the Overwatch clone thing.
Marvel Overwatch.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of them have either jumped onto that, or they've moved on to something else, and maybe they'll come back and play some Snap or something like that, a lot of those streamers. So they're kind of trying, they've kind of moved in this compensation package to not only help out people that missed those 2 days, but also as kind of a welcome back thing, like, hey, if you've been away from Snap for a while, now's a good time to come back because we're about to give all this free stuff. So we'll go over the, let's see, well, is that the global? Yeah. So there's something called the Global Gratitude Package, which everybody except U.S. players will get. The U.S. players are getting a lot because they're the ones that got banned from it, but the global players will get 2 spotlight keys. Those are good to pull new cards. 3,000 collector's tokens, also good for pulling cards. 1,500 credits, a mystery variant, a premium mystery variant, which I don't necessarily know what the two differences would be. A cosmic gold border for your card. They say that it's super rare, so that's fine. A cosmic red border, which also apparently is super rare. And you'll get 155 random boosters for 3 different cards. They don't specify, they're just random, the cards that you'll get them for. This is all gobbledygook to a lot of you who don't know what some of this stuff does. It's not bad, especially for those who did not, you know, who had no interruption in service. That's a pretty good package for absolutely nothing. For U.S.-based players, if your collection level is under 500, mine is, I'm in the 13,000s. For my collection level. So if your collection level is under 500, you'll get 6 Series 3 cards, which if you're under 500, there's 6 Series 3 cards for you, probably more than that. But if you're over 500, the likelihood is you probably already have those Series 3 cards and you're not missing anything from that series. But if you're under collection level 500, 6 Mystery Series 3 cards, 500 season pass, or I'm sorry, 5,000 season pass XP, 7,150 credits, 1,000 gold, which is also the currency in the game. Just right. to give you an idea, let me go into the game real quick. Because I can go to the shop, and I can go to the gold. 1,400 gold is $20. So 1,000 gold is what, like 15 bucks maybe? Mm. You know?
Yeah.
You'll get a mystery variant, 6 premium mystery variants, a cosmic red, a cosmic, 3 cosmic gold borders, and 155 random boosters to 5 different cards. If your collection level is over 500, you will get 2 spotlight keys, 5,000 season pass XP, 4,150 credits, 6,200 collector's tokens. That's a card right there, a free card or 2 free cards, depending on which series you're pulling from. Mm-hmm. Because card acquisition is either 3,000 tokens, depending on what the card is, or 6,000 tokens, depending on what the card is. 1,000 gold, 5 gold conquest tickets, 3 infinite conquest tickets, 4,000 conquest medals, which you can then use in their shop to buy other things, a mystery variant, 6 premium mystery variants. Then you'll also get the cosmic red, the cosmic gold, and the 155 boosters for 5 different cards. I wish I could find the Reddit post, but somebody went through and they added up what the value of that package is. Mm-hmm. It's like $400 or something, I think. I could be very wrong on that. I could be misremembering what the total came to.
I don't know, maybe I'm just skeptic. Maybe I'm just a skeptic on this, but it doesn't sound like. I mean, the game's based on RNG. In terms of the stuff you get anyway, and in free games, it's notorious for having RNG elements. You're not going to get what you want out of this thing anyway. So despite all the stuff that you're getting, it sounds like a lot, but what do you get using all of it? And I don't think you're going to get a lot if it's RNG based.
Correct. This is going to help a lot of people.
If they're new.
Especially if they haven't played in a while and they're coming back.
Yeah, because I'm thinking about this sounds like something you give to a new player, but like you say, you're a veteran of the game, and a lot of other people are, and it won't benefit you as much as a new player, a rookie, kind of thing. So,
no, for somebody who hasn't played in a while, it's going to help them a lot. For somebody that has played for a while, it's still going to be helpful. The 5,000 season pass, the 6,200 collector's tokens is great. I just spent 6,000 collector's tokens to pick up a new card, Bullseye, which is a new card for this week. I spent 3 keys. I had 6, and I spent 3 of them trying to pull Bullseye, and I didn't. And I said, well, I'm not going to spend my 4th because that's going to be Bullseye. I'm just going to go buy the card. And so I went and I bought the card. I say I bought it. I spent the...
Use the in-game currency
for it. The in-game currency for it, yeah. Which I have accumulated over time. So, I mean, it's just there. I still have 14,000 collector's tokens. So, I mean, I basically got that for free when I get this package back. Mm-hmm. Also, those 3 cards, those 3 keys I spent, I'll get 2 of those back. So, I mean, for me, it's fine. I'm good. That's no problem. Right now, I'm working with a deck that has gotten me further in the game than I have been in a long time. And I'm going to continue to try and make this trek to break into the 80s. Yeah, I'm at 76 right now, and it's really been working out pretty good for me. I might stream some of it tomorrow. I don't know. Because I wanted to do this. I was talked about, jinxed it. Last week I talked about streaming it. I said, hey, I'm going to stream it. I've been working with a great deck. I'm going to stream and do some stuff. Woke up that morning and it was banned. I couldn't stream it at all. Couldn't log in at all. So, yeah. So, that's what's going on with Marvel Snap. I did not expect to be unable to play that game. Because of that, it was just really. I had no idea they were tied into TikTok, but
We were told 10 months ago. But like you said, nobody cared until actual ban happened. Yeah.
The other part of it, and one of the bigger kind of controversies over it was, how did they not know? How did the developers not know that this was going to happen? Did they not know that they were owned by ByteDance? Did they not know that, did they just think that this was going to be just TikTok? And if not, did ByteDance not send out memos to their other, to all of what they own and say, hey, you're going to get pulled. You may want to prepare for this. I don't understand.
I don't see not knowing. I don't see not knowing.
I don't see not knowing either.
I do see.
That's the way it looks. Because if you didn't know, then that's some horrible communication within your company, right? To not know that that's going to happen. So that kind of makes you look not good, kind of incompetent as a company to not know who your bosses are, to not know that this is coming down.
Mm-hmm.
You should really be on top of that. So that looks bad that you didn't know. Looks worse if you did, because nobody said anything. No one was given a heads up. Now, people looked at, you know, what that, whatever it was, the thing that was going to ban them, saying, hey, we're, you know, to read the fine print, essentially, of this whole TikTok ban thing, knowing that it's ByteDance that they're pulling. TikTok happens to be involved in that, and that's the ultimate goal. I guess, did they think they were just coming after TikTok? Because they weren't. They were coming after ByteDance.
Anything involved with ByteDance.
That's my guess. I didn't read it, but somebody else did and said, hey, Snap's in this too. It might happen. You know, I don't know that they could differentiate between that or just say, nope, anything ByteDance is gone.
Yeah.
And that seems to have been the case. But they would have known that, right? Somebody would have to tell them? I don't know. That's the whole quandary with it is like, if you knew and you didn't say anything, that's bad. If you didn't know, that kind of looks bad too. Not as bad, but it does look bad that if you didn't know that you were owned by that company and that you were going to be pulled down. And so, I don't know, the whole conspiracy theory type thing kind of falls into, well, they probably knew, but if they were to say so, the money stream would have dried up. To think, hey, we're about to get banned, so don't spend your money, right? Because who knows when we're going to be able to bring this back online? Mm-hmm. Who knows what's going to happen with this? I don't know.
So which one sounds more feasible?
Like, it sounds like they didn't know. Mm-hmm. Because, and here's my thought. If they did know, they wouldn't have been down for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
If they knew and didn't tell us, they'd have had something in plan to mitigate this very quickly rather than 2.5 days of downtime.
Mm-hmm.
That's money that they can't make. And I mean, it's money now that they can't make anyway because the store is still dead for U.S. players. So I don't, that's my thought is that they legit did not know because the only other idea is that they did know and they didn't do anything about it for 2.5 days. I would have thought they would have had something in place to bring themselves, because whatever they did to get themselves back online, I feel like they would have had that ready to go when this came down. If they knew.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that they did. So, I don't know. That's my thought.
Yeah.
There's my thoughts on Snap. Never really have talked so much about Marvel Snap before.
Well, it ain't the game to talk about. It's the companies behind it and what's going on with them, really. So, yeah, it's not really about that.
It's a fun game. Mm-hmm. It really is a fun game. I really enjoy it. And, if you get in there to play it or anything like that, hit me up on Discord or wherever you want to find me to talk about it. And if you got questions about it or how do I do this or what do I need to do about this or what's the, you know, hit me up. Happy to talk about it. Happy to tell you more about it. So anyway, when we come back, we'll jump into the other news of the week. We had a Xbox Developer Direct that happened on Thursday. Do you know anything about that, RJ? Oh, well, then
I'll be educated with the rest of the group.
I think you'll enjoy a couple of games. Well, you probably already know about a couple of games that were announced, given the fan that you are of those. Anyway, we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. This is music from, again, these are older games. This is a game called Mickey Mania. I don't know which system it was on. I want to say Sega.
Okay.
Master Drive, maybe?
I remember it was Castle of Illusion.
No, maybe
that
not
was, that. Was, I know that was Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, we'll look it up and find out. Yeah. Actually, you know what? We'll do it right now. Because why not? Mickey Mania. Video game from... Oh, Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis.
Okay.
1994 was the release date on this.
Hmm.
Mickey Mania. Anyway, this is the track is called Steamboat Willie. I don't think it has anything to do with actual Steamboat Willie soundtrack, which is his little whistle thing that he would do. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so there you go. We'll be right back. In-game chat, that is music from Mutation Nation. The first boss that you find, or that you fight on Mutation Nation from the Neo Geo console. Anyway, welcome back into the show. Yeah, we're going to talk about the Xbox Developer Direct. This is not one that I spent a whole lot of time watching. And I say that because... some of the games just aren't in my wheelhouse. I mean, they were showing off, like, specifically, you know, four or five games, I think, is what they showed off. Mm. And some of those games are just not my cup of tea. However, RJ, Ninja Gaiden 4 got announced.
Okay.
Platinum Games working on that. Team Ninja... and Bayonetta developer Platinum Games are working on a new Ninja Gaiden game in the style of the series 3D reboot trilogy that ran from 2004 to 2012. This is the first time Platinum's gotten involved in the Ninja Gaiden? I think so.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good fit. Did we get a release date on that? This fall. PC, PS5, Xbox Series X, this fall is when that's going to release.
So my first question would be, is the difficulty up there like it was with the others? Because that was the biggest issue that a lot of folks had.
Ninja Gaiden Black was was where I found that. In fact, we got a sequel to that, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Ninja Gaiden Black 2.
Mm-hmm.
And it released that same day. So Thursday is when that released. Team Ninja announced it's bringing a revamped version of Ninja Gaiden 2 to modern platforms today in the form of Ninja Gaiden 2 Black. It's available on PC and Xbox Game Pass. So if you've got Xbox Game Pass, you can actually download it, play it on your Xbox if you want to. But yeah, that was announced in this Developer Direct as well. What else did we have? South of Midnight. We got a longer look at that from Compulsion Games, the folks who did Contrast.
Mm-hmm.
And We Happy Few. That was another one. That one was I was interested in. It's a single-player type game. It's you know, heavily narrative, story-driven thing, and I was just interested in it. And so, yeah, looked good. Coming out on April the 8th, PC and Xbox Series X and S. Everything, by the way, they showed off at this Developer Direct would be on Game Pass day one. Mm-hmm. So... that'll be something, and since I've kind of broken the seal, as it were, for my Xbox Game Pass on PC with Indiana Jones, I may do that with this one on South of Midnight. I liked what I saw of it, and I'm really curious about it, so yeah. What was the next thing they showed off? Yeah, I don't know about this one. Claire Obscure Expedition 33. Comes out April 24th. It's a turn-based RPG. Follows an expedition of people in a French-based fantasy world that is ruled over by a goddess who is able to kill people over a certain age. Expedition 33 marries real-time and turn-based combat, though it seems this will be highly customizable, and those who prefer to keep the real-time elements to a minimum can do so. I watched it for a little while, and then I fast-forwarded until it got to this weird creature-looking thing, and then I watched more of him, or it, I guess, and I was left sort of on the fence on that one. I'm not sure if I'm interested, but maybe I need to see more. I don't know. So at this point, I'm like, eh, I'm not interested in Ninja Gaiden. Interested in South of Midnight, on the fence with Expedition 33. So what else do you have? Doom the Dark Ages. Well, that's a no-brainer. That's fine. I could do a first-person shooter Doom thing as sort of a in-betweener on something.
Hmm.
I've never played Doom for a story. There's never been a Doom game that I've ever played for the story aspect of it. The first game you played was because you had a brand new PC, and that was the first game you ever played when you had a pre-PC. It was either that or Wolf 3D. One of the first games you played, the old shareware days, right?
Yep.
So there's that to it. And I like what they're doing with Dark Ages. They talked about Doom Eternal being more of a, like, Doom, the whatever the Doom was that they did when they revamped Doom, was run and gun. Sorry, I mean, it's your first person run and gun type thing. Doom Eternal was like, okay, now we're going to make you more agile. We're going to put you in the air a whole lot more, where you're jumping and being shot across the map or elevation and stuff like that. So shoot and fly, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so with Doom Dark Ages, they want to put you back on the ground and you're more like a tank type thing. You get a shield, you get a gun, you get a melee weapon, all sorts of stuff, and they just kind of want to make you feel like a tank. And then at some point you get put into a really tall mech. Yeah, so it's Doom, man.
Yeah, yeah.
So, exactly. And that comes out May 15th again. Game Pass, you have all of it. So, and I think that was it. Did they have anything else that they showed off? Nope, that was it. That was all from the developer direct. So, let's see. What is AC Wraith saying? So, let's see. Lethal Migrant says, Sony and Microsoft better find a way to assemble in America because the tariffs are going to make the Xbox 5 and the PS6 unaffordable. Whatever, I don't know how that's going to affect us, other than the fact that I'm expecting that to drive up the price of your games, the price of your consoles, the price of your computer components.
Yeah, peripherals, all that stuff. Yeah.
All that stuff's going to go up when the tariffs hit. So, yeah. So there you go. Oh, it was a Logan's Run reference. I'm sorry, AC Wraith. Yeah, I didn't catch that reference, but yeah. So, what else did I want to talk about here? We got into the Marvel Snap. You want to talk the GTA price?
Sure.
You know, we talked a little bit about it off the air. Mm-hmm. In fact, just before we came back, we were literally putting on our headphones, holding them open like this, as we're talking to each other about to start.
Yeah.
Because there's been talk that GTA 6 may cost $100 or may cost a lot higher than your normal games.
Not a collector's edition.
Right.
Standard edition.
Your base. Right,
day one from out the box or straight off the download. $100. That's what they're want. Apparently, folks in the industry want this to take.
Well,
this
of course
take.
They do.
They want it to take.
This article comes from VG247.com. People are talking about GTA 6 again, and this time it is in relation to how much cash you might have to fork over to play it. According to an analyst, there's some hope in the industry that Rockstar might opt to buck established pricing trends and maybe shoot this thing up to $100 for a copy. The analyst in question is Matthew Ball, CEO of a company which provides investment strategic advisory services, blah, 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 blah. It also cooperates a metaverse thing because it's 2025. Anyway, he put out a State of Video Gaming in 2025 presentation, which attempts to predict how the industry might change over the course of the year. On slide 214 of the very brief and snappy 222-slide presentation, Ball identifies GTA 6's pricing as being among a bunch of potential new growth engines, which could help pull the game industry out of its current cycle of... Apparently, it's kind of a downer year for the games industry, which sort of tracks, given how many people have been laid off last year and moving into this year as well. Alongside things like the Nintendo Switch 2, GTA 6 being set at a higher price that allows other publishers to follow suit and see a benefit in recoupling development without having to take on the effects of a backlash caused by being the first to do it themselves is seen as something that could aid in making a difference. In 2025, GTA 6's impact on industry playtime and spend will be mixed as it launches console only and severely cannibalizes hours and spend on other titles. Some game makers are hoping that GTA 6 will be priced between $80 and $100, breaking that $70 barrier and helping $50 titles move up to $60, moving up to $70, to $80, and so on and so forth. Goes on to argue that adjusting for inflation, the relative stagnation of game prices compared to their development cost, and the rising prices of other goods would make a GTA 6 priced at $70 the cheapest ever GTA in real terms, adding that costing $91 would place it around the average GTA price when you account for inflation. It's an interesting idea. I didn't know about that, but that's interesting that the GTAs of the past would average around $90 if we talk about inflation. You take the price of what GTA 3 cost or 4, and you move it into today's pricing, you'd be paying about $90. It's a conversation we've heard before and one that understandably doesn't sit well with a lot of consumers. The publishing director for Baldur's Gate 3, a guy by the name of Michael Dowse, had acknowledged in a tweeted response to this aspect of the report, a good company raises salaries in line with inflation so that their staff don't die or something. But game prices haven't risen with inflation. This isn't the reason the industry is in the crapper for now, but it is an uncomfortable truth. Adding that it's still on companies to put out games that players feel lives up to their investment, to the investment that a price represents. We always talked about this. Is it worth whatever the price was, you know? Mm-hmm. Is it a $20 game? Is it a $60 game? This came up with, this is going back, but it was an Xbox Live Arcade game. And I think they were selling it. Normally, the Xbox Live Arcade games were hitting the $5, $10 price tag. Then I think there was one that was going to be $20 or $25. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. But it was massive. And people were like, well, is it a $20 game? It was just for argument's sake. Let's say it was $20. Is it a $20 game? Is it worth that? How long? And then we started getting into, does length determine price?
Yeah. How much bang for the buck, basically? Yeah.
You know, it's a four-hour game. Is that worth $20? You know, we kind of sat on that for a while because we were like, I don't remember what our conclusion was because that's going back into the earlier episodes that we were just talking about.
Yeah.
And we've nearly been here for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if that validates. I think that if any company wanted to break out of that $70 barrier, if any game wanted to say, yeah, this game's $80 or $90.
Mm-hmm.
GTA would be the one to get away with it. You had mentioned before we came back that, you know, that would probably increase pirates who are downloading the game.
Picking up the price in that fashion would increase the piracy of the game, and that's always held true. But GTA 6 would be no different. Something else I thought about a while back. You said wouldn't get away. GTA 6 would be the title to get away with it, right? I think I talked about with Street Fighter.
Mm-hmm.
When Street Fighter 5 had that season content, I said if there's any fighting title that could get away with it, Street Fighter would. And they did it, and it worked. And other fighting games have followed suit. Season 1, Season 2, Season 3. To extend the longevity and the money-making power of the game,
right,
by putting out seasons.
Yeah.
And then before that, season passes. Remember when season passes used to be maybe 9 to 10? Then it became 20. Now they're 30 to 40.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
I mean, I remember the price goes up on these things.
Yeah.
And
every now and then you get to, but you get to a point where you see a price and you're like, hold up, wait a minute. Like I said, five and ten to suddenly 20. Now GTA going to 100 standard edition.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely gonna make you hold up and wait a minute.
I'm trying to remember what the game was that was like $70, and I don't want to say it was recently, but it was this generation where I saw that it was $70. Of course, you remember the
PlayStation 5 titles aren't they 70?
I think so.
Yeah, they're $70 now.
But yeah. Astrobot I think was 60.
Yeah.
Spider-Man 2 I think was 60. I think. I don't remember.
It was on that was on PS4 though, right?
Spider-Man 2 wasn't, no.
Two?
Two was not.
Two was not, okay.
I'm seriously telling you right now, I don't remember.
I was thinking anything from PS4 going to PS5, something that's on PS4. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's usually
It's
usually like a $10 increase because I remember some of these games were, you know, Ghost of Tsushima was the director's cut edition for PlayStation 4 was $40, I think, and for an extra $10, you could upgrade to the PlayStation 5 It was, I don't remember, but there was like a $10 upgrade.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing they did with Last of Us or Uncharted or something like that. We're like, hey, if you own it on PS4, just pay $10. You'll get the upgraded PS5 version of the thing or whatever it might have been. I think it was Horizon Forbidden West or something. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But I can't think. Actually, I think I'm overanalyzing it, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. As I said, as I was thinking that GTA would be the only company or the only game that could get away with it, you're like, no, you can release anything you want at whatever price you want. I think GTA would be the only successful one that could do that, given the audience. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Given the amount of people who play that game. Given the amount of people who want to play that game. Given the amount of people that already do play that game. I mean, they released GTA 5 over and over and over again on the 360, then on the Xbox Series X, then on the Xbox One. You know, it released on the 360 and the PS3. Then they got a PS4 release and an Xbox One release. Then they got a PS5 release and an Xbox Series X release. Then they got a PC release. Same game, just released like four different times.
Mm-hmm.
And it still sold amazingly well. Like, people double dipping. So if they want to release GTA 6 at $90, they'll have an audience that'll make that worth their while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the piracy is going to increase. But again, I go back to that specific game would survive that. If Suicide Squad, that's a stupid example to use, but let's say Suicide Squad was really, really good. It would not survive a $90 thing. I mean, it didn't survive anyway. But okay, fine. Let's throw Assassin's Creed in there. Or name anything else. I don't know. Just name a popular Call of Duty. Let's throw Call of Duty in there.
Okay.
Let's say Call of Duty released at $90. Sales are already dying on Call of Duty games as it is, but sales would not do very well for them in that regard. Piracy would take it much further. There would be more people pirating the game than actually buying the game.
Mm-hmm.
But GTA would have the same problem, except their audience would be so much bigger that they'd still be able to get away with it. Is that coming out right? What I'm trying to say? Their audience is massive enough.
There's enough demand for it that the price, while the initial day one purchase wouldn't be as big as you think.
If it was regularly priced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they're the only ones I think that could get away with that.
Yeah. But on a title big enough, popular enough,
right,
high enough demand,
mm-hmm,
to survive a $90 to $100
price
tag.
That's my thinking. I think
there'd be a definite dip if that were the case.
Yeah. Bama Ryan says it won't cost me $100. I can tell you that. Lethal Migraine says there's no argument will ever be made that can justify games costing more than $50. I mean, you might be right in that regard, Lethal Migraine. The whole thing with that is that, I mean, I get where you're coming from in your head saying, I'll never pay over $50 for a game. That's fine for you, mm-hmm, to put that down there. That doesn't mean that they're going to sell games for $50, because there's not a lot of people who share that thought with you.
Mm-hmm.
They'll pay the $60. We opened the show with me talking about a place where I'm looking for games cheaper than what they cost and how much you go over that. So I'm in the same boat you are in that regards. It would be rare for me to buy a game full price. I will get it on a sale.
Yeah, there are a lot of games I look at that I look at and I'm like, I don't have to be there day one.
Right.
I don't have to be there day one. I can wait.
Indiana Jones, man.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of that franchise, but I was not willing to shell out full price of that game. And it's like, well, here it is on Game Pass. I'll just do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm in that boat. I understand that whole thought of like, I have a limit and I ain't paying over that limit.
Mm-hmm.
But I also understand the fact that games cost more and more and more and more to make. And by that, I mean your big
AAA
titles.
AAA
yes.
titles, yeah. You don't have
your
to be
big
you have,
titles.
You don't have to be AAA to be successful, though.
You don't.
Look at Bellatro.
But you can't make a GTA 6 without putting in that kind of money.
Yeah.
You can't make a Call of Duty without putting in that kind of money. Used to, you could.
Mm-hmm.
You can't anymore because success does this. That kind of success does this to your companies like EA and like, well, Activision at the time, and like Microsoft and Sony. Not necessarily when you go back to your publishers for whoever did Bellatro, whoever did what's another?
Was your Vampire Savior?
Vampire Survivors.
Survivor.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry,
Vampire Survivors.
I was thinking Darkstalkers for
a second.
Yeah.
Vampire Survivors. It doesn't affect them like that.
Yeah.
Because their publishers are not, you know, they're like, hey, put out another one that cost very little for us to produce, but makes a ton of money,
mm-hmm,
you know? But GTA can't do that. They could not come out with a GTA 6 on a budget of whatever Bellatro was.
No.
And have the sales. People would call it horrible because you get into that rhythm of our next game needs to be bigger and better than the game previous. And we're looking at something like GTA, which is, what was one of the big things that we did it with Assassin's Creed, but we really did it with GTA, and we did every single time GTA released. I don't know if you're. What was the thing that people looked at whenever a new GTA came out?
Size, map size, what?
Map size, exactly.
Yeah,
it was all like, hey, the map is two times as big as Liberty City. You know, mm-hmm, Vice City is two times as big as Liberty City. San Andreas is three times as big as Vice City. And so on and so forth. And you made it bigger and bigger. You know,
mm-hmm,
Batman got caught into it. They did Batman Arkham Asylum was just sort of set inside. But when they backed it up and did Arkham City,
mm-hmm,
it's like, ooh, it's much bigger than this map. And then when they did Arkham Knight, it's like, oh, no, you take Arkham City and you multiply it by three. And that's how big your map. They get bigger and bigger and bigger. Of course, also AAA, they had to increase the visuals. They're using all these different tech and everything else. Then you got to bring in mocap actors. And then the price balloons,
mm-hmm,
as does inflation and everything else. So
Yeah, and there's the other thing to talk about as well for Lethal Migraine, talking about tariffs.
Mm-hmm.
The price for the components are going to go up, but you also have to understand the price of the tech that the companies use to make the games will also increase because of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very likely that our game prices will increase because of that as well. Not only because they're going to be made overseas or, you know, at least published that way. I'm not mm-hmm. exactly sure. But, yeah, it's all going to go up. Mm. It's all going to go up. So hopefully you get that stuff when you can and on the cheap. Because it's going to go up. That was something over the Black Friday holiday and over Christmas holiday. And even now, over the, I don't want to say Super Bowl holiday, but TVs go on sale Black Friday, they go on sale Christmas, but they really go on sale just before Super Bowl. That is the time that they take their inventory that didn't sell through Black Friday or that is from the previous year, and they really do the markdowns because they got some new stuff coming in. And so usually it's just prior to Super Bowl that you see some really good deals on television sets. If you get in on them now, you'd probably be pretty good. If you get in on them later, I don't know. The uncertainty of that, and there really was an uncertainty before because there wasn't the threat of the tariffs or anything like that. I don't know what it's going to do, but I'm almost positive it's not going to make them cheaper. They're just going to increase. But that's my guess. And I don't know. We'll have to wait and see how that's going to play out. I would be very surprised if for whatever reason it brings price down. But if it does, hey, all good for us, you know? Anyway, we got to take a break because we're way over on this. It's a conversation we could just completely have over and over again, but yeah. This next track I specifically included because of Dave. He has not sent me a text, so I'm guessing that he is not listening. He's probably working or something like that today, but I specifically put this in for Dave. It is the Stage 4 track, which I don't know why Stage 4 just worked, but the name of the game is from, I think it's from the old NES days, Toxic Crusaders.
Okay.
It's all from the, you know, Toxic Avenger,
yeah,
Troma stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there was a game called Toxic Crusaders. It's Stage 4. Here's the music. You're welcome, Dave, and we'll see you after the break. Welcome back to In-Game Chats.
Sound like a stage that takes place in the air.
The name of the track is called Let's Go on an Adventure. The name of the game is called Landstalker. So probably not being in the air.
So this game goes in the air.
I don't remember what system it's for. I guess you could look at that up to see, what is it, Landstalker? The Land Stalkers or yeah. Nope, Land Stalker. It says console game for. It came out in 92, so we're looking at the Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
It's an action role playing that was developed by Climax Entertainment and released for the Sega Genesis in Japan, and that was in 92 and elsewhere in 93.
Mm hmm. When I hear something like this, I think of a vert shooter,
mm-hmm.
or something like that.
There was a really good,
or like those music that makes you think of sounds like an Ice stage in Mega Man.
I'm getting those kind of vibes from it. We got a classic coming up to close out the show. Not necessarily a classic in music, but easily a classic in gaming.
Yep.
In fact, it's the first one I looked up because I was thinking about the game. Maybe because we were talking about it or somebody I was talking to about it, and I decided to look that up for the retro stuff to see what it sounded like because I couldn't remember. Anyway, welcome back to the show here, and jumping back over to the news, what do we have? AstroBot won Game of the Year at the New York Game Awards. Just throw it on the pile. Oh, Assassin's Creed Shadows got more previews. And a few people that I was looking at had mentioned that, hey, they've really revamped this. They've sort of put a mix of old, I don't want to say old Assassin's Creed, but the old style gameplay of Assassin's Creed, but they also mixed it in with what the new style of Assassin's Creed is when they did that trilogy of Origins, Odyssey, and Valhalla. Mm-hmm. Where they sort of made it more open world.
Mm-hmm.
They've sort of, for whatever reason, Shadows apparently has taken the best of both worlds and made this game with them. So some people are saying, yeah, it's worth the wait. Some people are like, yeah, it's still not there, or it's not working for me. So we'll have to see how that goes. I really hate headlines that want to make you click on them, but I'm going to click on it anyway. Mm. It's the director of Assassin's Creed Shadows revealing why the game was delayed a second time. Game director Charles Benoit. He was just short of being that other dude's name. Being that other guy with a CH for the first name and the last name Benoit.
Yeah.
Told IGN that the additional time was used to polish Shadows and balance the progression. However, he noted that the really difficult issue to deal with was the architecture of feudal Japan, which wasn't intended to be used as parkour surfaces. The Japanese architecture, the roofs, are super complex, said Benoit. Probably the most complex thing that I've ever worked with if we compared to Odyssey and Syndicate. We needed specific codes and specific animations to support something super fluid, changing the transition of the parkour to make it even more fluid. That's one of the specific feedback that we heard that we wanted to address, and it really improved since the last few months. Somebody from GameSpot, which is where this article comes from, recently had an extended hands-on preview with Shadows, and he noted that he was regularly blown away by just how pretty the game is and the team's commitment to creating as accurate a historical fantasy as possible. I only got to explore a snippet of Shadows 1579 feudal Japan, but I could not stop staring at what I was able to see, even when I should have probably been paying attention to the approaching guards. He added that he is inclined to go into the full experience with hopeful expectations, despite not fully experiencing the other aspects of the game during his time with Shadows. As part of the recent preview, Ubisoft shared more details about Shadow's new features on PC, as well as the Animus Hub that will debut with the game. That is coming out March 20th, by the way. So, just to let you know. So there you go. Some aspect of Assassin's Creed there. This guy says, PC Gamer says, I played 6 hours of Assassin's Creed Shadows, and folks, I think this one was worth the wait. Let me see. The idea... I had a blast infiltrating castles, bounding over rooftops, and disassembling guard patrols one stab at a time. The dynamic lighting is just as cool as I hoped. The Splinter Cell visibility meter added welcome complexity and expression to sneaking. That's interesting. I'll have to... Oh, okay. I see. I'm looking at gameplay here, and I understand what there's... It's that whole little thing where an indication on your screen shows that somebody in either the left, right, up, down, you know, somebody in that direction has seen you, and it gradually fills, you know, and once that fills up, then it's like, oh, they've noticed you. So it's like, get out of view as soon as you can so that the meter goes back down. My gut says Shadows is the strongest stealth package in 18 years of Assassin's Creed, but a bigger surprise was how much fun I also had charging barricaded doors, cleaving through unarmored Ronin, and shrugging off glancing blows as the other character, which...
Yasuke.
Yeah, I was going to say. Which is not a name I'm going to try to pronounce. I will easily pronounce it more when I eventually get around to playing the game, because I'll hear it so much, I'll know how to... Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see how this is going to play out. There are a ton of preview videos on YouTube from people who had the 6 hours of gameplay that they could do, so that you can take a look at it and decide how you want to do, if you're going to go with that game or not. What else do we have here? We got about 10 minutes left. Let's talk about WB Games, if we can, very quickly. They have wrapped up the Suicide Squad story stuff. That is over and done with. When they released that. And now they have wrapped up the job of the head of WB Games. The head of Warner Brothers Games Division, David Hadid, is leaving the role after 12 years. He will continue as Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment president for 3 months as WB searches for his successor. Variety broke the news. They added that a source insists there are no plans for WB to sell off its game division. And so the obvious thing to mention in the context of this news is Suicide Squad, which was a bomb, a failure. 9 years in development, ended as one of the biggest flops in the industry's history, had a definite impact on WB's quarterly reports as well. The game can hardly be put down solely to his leadership, but at the same time, WB Games clearly had faith in what Rocksteady was making and backed it to a considerable degree. The development cost is estimated to be around $200 million. Suicide Squad isn't the whole story, though. In 2023, for example, WB Games had the highest-selling game of the year globally with Hogwarts Legacy. Mortal Kombat didn't do bad, but it also didn't do great. In November last year, the CEO of Warner Brothers said that the publisher would be narrowing its focus to DC games, in particular Batman, because they had success.
They're a successful title, yeah.
Why? I mean, I get it. As a developer, just like with Naughty Dog, you want to break away from, you're like, I'm tired of working on Batman, or I'm tired of working on Uncharted. Can we do something else? Sure. But I can't, for the life of me, think that Rocksteady decided to do that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I feel like that was...
Whoever's supplying the funding... Sounds like they're going to be scared to try anything new.
Yeah.
They're scared because of what happened with these other titles. They're going to go back. They're going to go back to what's comfortable or profitable, which is Batman.
Yeah, that's my thought, you know. Yeah. And I understand they want to break away from it. They can do that with these other games. They can still do a Batman game and not make it like the Arkham titles. You can still find a new way to do that. Or you can find a way to bring in other characters or something like that if you want to do that. And fine. I can also see them looking at it and saying, hey, we're tired of doing these comic book games. You know, we want to stretch out and do something different. But I don't know. I think they're stuck.
Yeah. They need success. And so they're going to go with what works or what worked in the past. They're not going to be too innovative right now.
I'm looking over this article just to see if there was more insight into this guy stepping down. And I mean, it has to be from Suicide Squad, I would think, is the problem there. So, what else? Really quick hits that we're doing here. Dragon Age The Veilguard had 1.5 million players in its first 2 months. That's a big number, but it's not big enough for EA. They expected to have 3 million in the first 2 months.
Starting to sound like Square Enix.
Yeah, I know. In the press release, the company said it was reducing its expectation for the fiscal year ending March of 2025 from mid-single-digit growth to mid-single-digit decline. The largest culprit, according to EA, was global football,
the EA Sports FC, which it says experienced a slowdown last year in quarter three after two consecutive fiscal years of double-digit net bookings growth. In the press release, Andrew Wilson from EA, the CEO, specifically pointed to EA Sports FC 25 as underperforming. I don't think it did. I think that college game did pretty good, though, right?
Yeah.
College football, I think. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, EA also mentioned that Dragon Age engaged 1.5 million players during the quarter, which was down nearly 50% from what they projected. Notably, EA does not say that the 1.5 million number was unit sales, was just the engaged 1.5 million players. Doesn't necessarily mean that those were sales.
It does mean sales, yeah.
Yeah. Because it was also available as part of their Play Pro subscription service.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that people bought the game. They just paid the subscription fee and played it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Just a rental.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seems to be the case.
Yeah, in terms of numbers of FC Football Club, yeah. Across the world, yeah. But in the States, I know college football was the one that
had to have been their winner.
Really did.
That had to have been their winner. So, yeah. Speaking of EA, EA Origin is shutting down in April, if you still use it. I think I still have it installed on my PC, but whenever I open it up, it directs me to EA's website, I think,
mm-hmm.
and then I log in through there,
yeah.
I guess, to do it. Yeah, it's kind of annoying. So, anyway. That is that's going to wrap it up. Let me go back to chat, see if there's anybody else talking. Let's see. Lethal Migrant says, gamers are collectively dumb. They will pay $200 for GTA if it was on a Bellatro budget. Hell, Nintendo should be dead, but gamers keep buying their junk over and over again. Let's see. I want to see of Ubisoft for not getting games on time. I want to see what? I want to see Domino's made fun of. I thought he said he says male fun. I want to see Domino's made fun of Ubisoft some more for not getting Domino's pizza. Okay.
Yeah, the Twitter beef, yeah. I think Wendy started that a while back, and Wendy's made fun used their Twitter account to make fun of other hamburger restaurants.
They did. It was National Roast Day, and so they would roast and then people would send
Arby's.
In
Arby's was doing
was
I
that
think,
Arby's
I think
doing
Arby's
the roast?
Was doing that.
I thought it was Wendy's.
Wendy's and I know Arby's got into it.
But Arby's
like
does roast beef. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but so, I think Wendy's did a pretty good burn on them. I can't remember.
Yeah, it was basically a bunch of trash talking in social media between restaurants.
But what Lethal Migrant was saying is that he wanted to see Domino's Pizza make fun of Ubisoft some more for not getting games out on time. That was good entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they couldn't say anything about the year because you made, what, two delays?
Yeah.
Back-to-back delays on that? Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, I may stream tomorrow. I don't know. I may do it. I may not. I'm not sure. We'll see how it goes. I don't want to throw it out there. But I really do have a really good deck. I got two really good decks that I'm playing right now with Marvel Snap, and I'd love to play those and kind of work on my climb. But, other than that, though, Astrobot will be calling my name, and I don't know. I'll figure out what I'm going to play on PC. I do have Assassin's Creed Mirage, the one that released 2023,
mm-hmm.
so I'm kind of curious about that and playing that because it's been a minute since I played Assassin's Creed. I started Valhalla. And it's that open world aspect, and I was just it worked okay, but it's bloat, man. It's too big. I hate to say that, but both Origins, Odyssey, and Valhalla, it's just, they were getting big when they were back in, like, the Syndicate days,
mm-hmm.
but they got even bigger, and it just feels like it's too much bloat. Anyway. That's going to wrap it up for us. Thank you all so much for joining us, not only in the chat room, but also listening on the show. Hey, Steve, I wanted to say, Steve, Duke Frukum, who comes on the show, happy birthday. Today is his birthday, and so I wanted to say happy birthday to him. So anyway, that's it for us. You guys have a fantastic night. Have a great week. I'm going to leave you here with music from Desert Strike.
I don't know if it's the Genesis or I think it's Genesis version. Mm. Anyway, it's called Return to the Gulf. It's the main theme for the game. So have a great one. We'll see you next Saturday. Here's your game that takes place in the air.